Merry Christmas and welcome to our Scandy Bible Church Christmas Eve service 2016. Grab a virtual pew and join us as we gather on the evening of the 24th of December to celebrate the night before the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight, our worship is family style with a mixture of scripture readings, congregational hymns, and good old-fashioned church family music.
Please stand and turn to number 216.
Well, good evening, everyone. Glad to join together this evening. You have no idea how hard it is to come up here and say good evening. Just 365 days I say good morning, but good evening this time. Well, we gather together this evening to feast on God's Word. And we know that Jesus himself has told us in Luke chapter 24, where it's recorded, "Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." Of course, dealing with that time when Jesus met those disciples on the road to Emmaus. And that's what we want to do this evening, look at Christ from all the scriptures. The gospel can be looked at as a love story, the greatest of love stories. You see, the story of Christmas didn't begin with Joseph and Mary. It didn't start with that young couple far from home who had to leave because of the imperial command of Caesar Augustus. Mary, this peasant mother, having to give birth in that substandard birthing facility we call a stable. And in some ways, that must be the most inappropriate place for the King of Kings to give birth or to be born. But in another way, it's the most appropriate place for the Lamb of God to be born. It was a love story nonetheless. And no three kings arriving at the stable, no royal delegation, nothing like that. And with every great love story, there's a time, as to borrow the cliche, when the paths cross. And that's what Christmas celebrates. It celebrates the Christ of God intersecting with humanity. And unlike so many modern romances or love stories, you could say, this one is not about a chance encounter. This is God divinely decreeing to save a people to himself before the very foundations of the world. It's a decreed encounter, and that should be wonderful to us. God's love for you is not based on chance. It is not based on a what if. It's not based on I hope. It's based on sovereign decree. And it is in Christ that we find out that God's grace is not sparingly given to us. God is not stingy in his love, but he gives it lavishly. So unconditional is God's love for his people that the gospel has often been described as scandalous. After all, we, the wretched sinners, in a sense, we get off scot-free. God himself pays the ultimate price for our redemption. His sins are none. Our sins are many. He goes to the cross for our sins. He was born to do so. And that is scandalous when you think of it. This evening is about feasting on God's word, drinking deeply from that wellspring of life, holding fast the outpouring of God's love through the person of his Son. And so as we feast on God's word this evening, don't just let these familiar passages that all of us may have read and heard time and again just kind of wafted over you. Stop and think and reflect and meditate on them. The sequence of the selected text is designed to take us from that first proclamation of the gospel in Genesis chapter 3:15, that proto-evangelium, all the way to the gospels, going through the prophets of the Old Testament. And remember, it's not a story that just begins with Mary and Joseph but it was a proclamation that was first made to Adam and Eve. It's a journey that shows Christ in the breadth and the length of all the scriptures. He is the all in all. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. It is only right that our theology come out in doxology, in praise. And so in between these readings, we'll either be singing a corporate hymn, or there will be someone that will come and lead us in some kind of song, whether it's an instrumental or that we would sing together. Don't turn your mind off during those times of music, for even the song order follows the revelation that God has given us in His Word. That's a continuation of our worship. We hear something praising God's Word. That's the theology. We praise God in doxology for what He's given us. We encourage you to look to Christ, where all of God's promises are yes and amen. I want to open our service in prayer. I'm going to be reading the words of this old Puritan prayer. I think captures our hearts well this evening. Bow your heads with me. O God of all grace, what shall we render to you for the gift of gifts of your own dear Son? Herein is wonder of wonders. He came below to raise us above, was born like us, that we might become like Him. Herein is love. When we cannot rise to Him, He draws near on wings of grace to raise us to Himself. Herein is power. When deity and humanity were infinitely apart, He united them in indissoluble unity, the uncreated and the created. Herein is wisdom. When we were undone, with no will to return to Him, no intellect to devise recovery, He came, God incarnate, to save us to the uttermost, as man to die our death, to shed satisfying blood on our behalf, to work out a perfect righteousness for us. O God, take us in spirit to the watchful shepherds and enlarge our mind. Let us hear good tidings of great joy, and hearing, believe, rejoice, praise, adore. Our conscience is bathed in an ocean of repose, our eyes uplifted to a reconciled Father. Place us with ox, donkey, camel, goat, to look with them upon our Redeemer's face, and in Him account ourselves delivered from sin. Let us with Simeon clasp the newborn child to our hearts, embrace Him with undying faith, exulting that He is ours and we are His. In Him you have given us so much that heaven can give no more. Amen.
Thank you. Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in that day You eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man, and he said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and the dust you will eat all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Now the man called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them.
Genesis 22, starting in verse 1. "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham, and he said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you.'" Go now to verse 9. "Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, for me.' Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it will be provided.'" Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice."
Stand with it. Isaiah 9, beginning in verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Micah chapter 5, starting in verse 2. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. And he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace.
Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God, to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, and he shall be called Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who will be called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to the word." And the angel departed from her.
Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means "God with us." And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thank you.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Verse 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them.
Matthew 2, verse 1 through 11. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, and this is what has been written by the prophet: And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi, determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Thank you. The Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all men might believe through him. John was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ."
Thank you. All across this great nation this evening, little country churches like this are filled with folks gathering to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful thing that is. That God who spoke the universe into existence and created you humbled himself to become a child. In glory, he was God for us. Walking the dirt in Israel, he was God with us. And now, after his death and resurrection, he's God in us. Simple truths, too amazing to really grasp. But let's soak on that as we move into the new year. And my, what does God have for us in 2017? I'm going to close in prayer, and then Michael and Brenda are going to lead you in hymn number 238. And you'll be standing as you do that, and you will be dismissed as you finish that hymn. Then our Scandia strings are going to come out and play as you dismiss. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father of God, wonder of wonders, such love beyond what we can grasp. I'm asking that this Christmas, for families or individuals, that this Christmas they might quiet their hearts with awe and wonder of the God who loved them enough to die for them. And so I'm asking, as we dismiss, you'll keep us safe on the highways. Bring us together tomorrow, once again on Sunday morning. Lift our voices in worship. Know that we love you as we commit ourselves to you in Christ's name. Amen.
that's going to wrap up our Christmas Eve service. We pray it was a blessing to you. We'd like to invite you back to our Sunday Christmas service tomorrow morning and to let you know that our sermons are podcasted right from this website each and every week. So until next time, for all of us here at Scandy Bible Church, Merry Christmas and may God richly bless you.